a good Sunday school class out there in the teen class. They was want to brag on them. They was very attentive, very good, and I'm building you up because we need some volunteers to help teach them. But they do a good job. They're no trouble at all, and listen well, and appreciate them their attendance and their attention this morning. It's exciting when a group of young ones want to learn more about the Lord. So excited about that. And we will. I know it's not usually time for announcements, but if you, we need some volunteers to help us teach the teenagers on Sundays and Wednesday nights. Well, Wednesday nights is pretty much taken up, I think, with Christmas play for a little while. But Sundays, we're going to try to give Miss Kim a couple weeks off a month. She's done a great job for us filling in. Of course, y'all know we have been posting, and we got it on the Alabama Baptist website. We got it on Facebook, different places, looking for a youth leader. If you know anyone, give us our name and numbers. We would love to talk to them. And just be praying is the main thing. Pray that God send us the person to lead this youth. We, of course, desire to increase the number, but we want to see them increase in knowledge and come closer to the Lord and make him number one in their lives. That's our objective out there. So ask you to be much in prayer for that. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get into our service? I know being... prayer for Joe Hightower and Pam and their son, obviously, and a whole family. Any others? Remember our church. Pray for our revivals coming up next week. Got a busy October coming up. Pray much in prayer for our fall festival. There'll be people coming into our fall festival that's not usually churched, and just pray that God let us be the light to shine unto them, and let's pray that they see need to come out and that we minister unto them.
Just pray for us. We're going to be going to see Jamie, our son. Amen.
Jackie's
been wanting to go for a while, so y'all might need to pray for me.
Remember them, they travel. Thankful that the Lord saw fit to bring Blake and Garrett back home safely. They went on a journey. They can tell you about that. That's a whole other sermon. We had our class reunion last night. There's sermons there also. So excited about today. Any other prayer requests? If not, Keith, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Will never let you go.
Can't preach after that song, something's wrong with you. You would just wet or maybe died altogether. I was sitting in Bible college the other night, and this message come to my heart, my mind, as I read this verse, as we went over, was going through Philippians, and this one teacher teaching us Philippians, the other one teaching us Genesis, and Paul was talking about magnifying himself, and this word magnify, I began studying it all week, and it's amazing what's in this word magnify, but I would again think about that, and I saw somewhere this week, it's amazing how God works this stuff out, that our country has a great problem. It's real prevalent in our younger teenagers and even in some adults. They say that the psychologist says that we've got a problem with narcissism. I didn't know what that word meant. I ain't that smart, but I looked it up, and it's self-centeredness. And it comes from selfies. And I began thinking about, Lord, how in the world am I going to preach a message on selfies? But you look at it, a narcissist, it gratifies themselves. They put themselves up on an image, put themselves up on a pedestal. And the sad thing is there's been over 5,000 known deaths from taking selfies. This is not counting probably the ones who they've been going down the road taking pictures of themselves and having a wreck. This is ones that has fallen off cliffs and different things, taking pictures of themselves because they are built up and they are, I'm not being mean to you this morning, just don't preach the truth. They find worth in the number of followers they can get. If you've got a bunch of followers, undoubtedly you're supposed to be, that's supposed to be the stuff. If you can get more followers, you can get, and bless God, they're doing everything from taking selfies on the side of cliffs up into killing themselves on the internet, different things. So they can get followers, and bless their hearts, they never think they're not going to be able to see it. They're not ever know how many followers they had. And this thing is sad. It's a little comical, but it's very sad that we're living this time. And we see it in our kids at our house. They get over there and they poke their lips out and put themselves sideways and they'll click this way. And then they'll go over here and they'll look in the mirror and they'll do this. And then they'll click this way. And every time they're going to get a picture made, they got to do this. And boy, they do all these things to make themselves look a little bit better. But I want to tell you something this morning. The Bible plainly teaches who needs to be magnified is Jesus Christ. He's who needs to be magnified. Hey, I don't matter one bit. And I don't want to hurt your ego, but you don't matter one bit either. What matters this morning is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Psalms chapter number 34, in verse number 3, I'm not going to ask you to stand because it's very, very short, but Psalms 34 in verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us extol his name together." Let me read it one more time. "Magnify the Lord with me and let us extol his name together." Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I ask you to touch hearts this morning. Lord, I ask you to show us where we stand. And Father, how you must be magnified if our lives are going to be what's pleasing unto you. God, I ask you to help us this morning to magnify you in this service. Lord, that we may bring you closer to ourselves. And God, we thank you. We bless you. I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I looked up this word, magnify. I began to find something that we see all the time, but we have in our world, we have telescopes. They can take a telescope and they can see light years even, what they believe planets are light years away from Earth. They can see this thing. So I had to find out how a telescope works, and I still don't know very much and studying it all week, but what I did find out is basically what a telescope does is it takes the light from an object and it magnifies it and it puts it on the retina of our eye. It simply takes up more space or more pixels on our retina so we can see things clearly. That's what a magnifying glass does. It spreads it out over the surface of our retina so it appears closer to us than it is. And when I read it, everything about magnifying something is about light. It's about how you refract the light. A telescope takes it and it bends the light back towards your eye. It's really amazing how this thing is in the Bible, and yet we see it played out in science, how this thing is. But I want you to think about today is we're going to talk about magnifying the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I told you, we've got a problem. Even psychologists says that our nation is suffering from these narcissists. It's suffering from narcissism. We are raising a bunch of people who are self-centered. And as it comes from mom and daddy, it comes from all of us. We just can't stand to break those little ones' heart, bless them. We can't stand that something may not go their way. We just can't stand that. Listen, I remember when I was 12 years old, I was fat. Yeah, I'll just say it. I know heavyweight or all this stuff, or I'd rather hear fat than I would chunky. People call me chunky, make me mad. Just call me fat. But I was there, and I can remember when if you was 125 pounds in 12-year-old football, you didn't get to play that Saturday. And I can remember being there, me and some more buddies my own size. We'd have to take every stitch of clothing almost to make weight. And guess what? Now they got to be a certain weight, but you can still play if you get a sticker on your helmet or sticker somewhere. And if you play, you're going to get a participation trophy because we just can't help it if you put forth effort or not. We're going to go ahead and magnify you because you even got out there. That's the type of society we live in. That's the type of people we're raising. They're going to jobs. They're not doing their best. They're not doing anything because I'm supposed to be magnified just because I'm me. That's who I am. I'm supposed to be lifted up. I'm supposed to be put on a pedestal. And if you don't do that, I'm going to get my feelings hurt. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pout until I get my way. And we have saw this with elected adults in our own judicial system this last 3 weeks. We have saw this because things aren't going their way. They're going to drag up something from 200 years ago that has nothing to do with anything that's made up. And we see that mess. And it comes from this of us magnifying ourselves and not magnifying the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must magnify Him. I want you to think about, there's about four ways I pinned down that we are to magnify Jesus Christ. Number one, we're to magnify Him with our talk. With our talk, this is something that people don't hold much to anymore. I remember my grandmother, if she was here, she'd be, her face would be as red as that shirt Blake got on. But when my granddaddy was a deer hunter all these years, he had deer dogs. Those things get on her porch, and they'd tear trash up, or they'd tear the porch up. And she'd say some ugly words. And I'd say, Granny, you ain't supposed to say them cuss words. She'd say, them ain't cuss words, them little slang words. But listen, them little slang words matter. As we say, we live out into a world. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of darkness. It's just like us going out at night and trying to see those faraway planets. We can't see them because there's no light. There's not enough light refracted from them. And the reason that the world today cannot see Jesus, is not seeing Jesus, has a lot to do even with our speech. With our speech, think about how you talk to people some of the time. Listen, I'm on the phone all day long at my job, and it's amazing how people will talk to you. It's amazing how people have absolutely no problem with cussing you out over something that's very, very minute. And the sad thing is, there was a guy called up. Man, he was just cussing up a blue streak. I mean, he was letting them roll. And I asked him, I said, what's the name of your business? As I was about to take the order, and he said, B-I-C. And I said, B-I-C, what is that? He said, Brothers in Christ. I thought, oh my Lord. Oh my Lord, listen, speech is very important. I remember when I was younger in this ministry, I know a guy who's a preacher. And listen, I may be in trouble with the whole county this week on this message if they got Facebook. But I knew a man who preached, and I would be around this man, and he would let out these little curse words. And I thought, Lord, I know exactly when I preach, all kind of things come into my mind. How in the world does this man not cuss from the pulpit? And listen, this thing may seem like small to us, but to a lost and a dying world, they see these things and they're looking for anything they can. And what they need today, they need to see somebody magnifying the Lord. Listen, the light is there, brother. Just as those planets give forth light and the moon gives forth light where we can see it, God has given forth a great light that should be shining forth. We see in a telescope, that thing shines, the light comes back, it's curved back into a convex lens, and that lens is focused to a point. And listen, the point that we're to be focused from is our inner being who is sold out to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I went to a class reunion last night, and listen, I'm ashamed to tell you of some of the things that grown folks, 44 and 45-year-old, was doing at that place. And I had one come over there, bless the Lord, he couldn't hardly stand up, and he said, I'm glad we got a reverend here, you can save us. I said, brother, you need way more than me. And I had another friend of mine there that's a deacon at a church, and he told him, he said, brother, he can't save you, but he can point you to a one that can. And listen, that's what we need to be doing, even in a dark world, in a dark society. We need to be a magnifying glass for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to bring Him closer to a lost world. We need to bring Him closer so they can see. You see, they're in darkness, and by our speech, we can build up or we can tear down. How many of you has ever been around a negative person? How many of you have ever been around somebody negative? It's okay to raise your hand if you want to. You don't have to. But we all been around a negative person. There's some people that come into work and everything is bad and nothing's good. And I just can't be happy. I don't care what you do. You're not going to please me. You're not going to please anybody else. You might as well just be miserable like I am. And is it not terrible to be around somebody like that? Listen, that's how we are in our churches sometimes. That's how we are out in the lost world. And in people, we're trying to tell them we think about Jesus Christ and we're putting our church down, or we're putting one another down, or we're putting this down, we're putting that down. And no wonder that people can't see the Lord today because with the speech and the way Christians are talking, you don't see any different than the world. We should be a speech. We should have a speech that is sweet. Listen to Colossians. Chapter number 4, verse number 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You see, speech is very important. You know why speech is so important? Because it's the first thing that someone sees. Or they hear, they see our face. And then immediately when we speak, that's how they come to know who we are. You can be in the presence of someone about 5 minutes, and you can figure out if they love Jesus or not. You can be you can be around them just a little bit, and the way they talk, you can know if they sold out to the Lord. You can know if they belong to Him. You can know where they are. Their speech will tell it. It'll tell everything about it. You can be around somebody in our neck of the woods in about 5 minutes, and during the fall time, you can figure out if they're an Alabama and Auburn fan. You can't Tennessee fan because they're at home crying. But listen, all these other ones, you can find out who they are by their speech. It comes forth very clearly. And the scriptures, listen, you understand the Bible didn't need to take up space. The Bible God didn't need something to put on a page just to take up a little space to make up 66 books of this thing. He put this for a very important reason. He says, let your speech be always with grace. Hey, have the grace that God has. When you talk to people, let it be seasoned with salt. In other words, make it salty. Make it good. Make it attractive to them. Make it something they want to hear more. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Listen, we should be kind when we talk. We should be respectful when we talk. I remember a time when a preacher owned a store down below where I live. And I would go in that place, and at that point, I had a problem with cussing. I did. I don't know where I got it. Probably from all my kin folks, I guess. I had a problem. I like to say the wrong thing there. But I had a problem. And I know where I got it. But I had a problem with speech. I would talk ugly. And as a young boy, it was something fun about cussing around them friends. You'd get around them. I didn't know I was lost as a goose. I didn't know who the Lord was. But I had a sense enough and respect enough to when I went in Murray's store, I didn't cuss. You know why? Because I had been taught that Bill Murray was a pastor. I've been taught that Bill Murray was a preacher, and he was supposed to be different than I am. And listen, when I went in that place, I had a respect. But today in the time that me and you live, that respect is not there any longer. There's absolutely, you know why it's not there? It's because they hear the same thing out of God's people. They hear the same speech out of us. They get the same rudeness from us. I've heard waitresses say the worst people you can have to come in your restaurant is people that leave the church house. Amen. Oh, me. We go in there and the chicken's not good enough. This is not good enough. There's just nothing right. And why in the world can't you get my sweet tea right? And we just got all kind of problems. And we're supposed to be leading them to the world, to the Lord. And besides, we're pushing them away. We don't want no part of that. Our speech, it can even be a stumbling block. Titus chapter 2 verse 8. This is what this says. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. No evil thing. I've told this before, but Jerry Clower, I think it is, got the best one of this there ever was. He said that old guy sent out and played checkers this old man's store. And said this old man never would own the store, never would say anything bad. He never would have a negative thing to say about anybody. And the old worst, terrible man in the community died. And they was bringing him by that day, the funeral procession. And as they would do this, the old men playing checkers, they had talked bad about him, you know. And as this one was coming down the road, they said, I wonder what he'll say about this one. There's no way he can say nothing good about this man. So as the funeral procession come on by, they watched the store owner. And he stood out there and he just shook his head. And he said, boy, he sure could whistle. He sure could whistle. Listen. If we don't know of anything to say, good advice is not say anything at all. And too many times I open my mouth when I should keep it shut. Too many times I say things when I should think about it before I do it. Because the Bible tells me, according to that verse, my speech should be of a way that even those who don't believe in Jesus Christ cannot find anything to condemn me for. It should be that type of speech come out of my mouth. So we should magnify Him with our speech. You realize how many people you talk to on a daily basis? Think about it. How many people you talk to? And in my line of work, many of them I never talk to again. I'll never talk to that person on this side of eternity. I'll never talk to them again. They'll never call again. I'll never talk to them. Or if I'm in the store, even in Carrollton, Georgia, or Anniston, Alabama, or any of these places, I run into people and I say hi to them, or I talk to them, and just simple something such as the weather, just smile at them or something like that. We don't know what difference it's going to make. And that's our only impression we ever get to make on that person. Our speech is very important. Number two, we need to magnify Him with our walk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Boy, we're going to have to camp here for just a minute. and walk worthy of the vocation where you tell, wait a minute now, I'm not called to be a preacher. I'm not called to be a deacon or any of those things that he's talking about right here. He's talking about you're called as a Christian and you're to walk worthy of what you're being called. And that's the sad situation we have in our churches and communities today, is we have very few people who are walking the true Christian walk. Now, I get it. We mess up. We sin. I say mistakes a lot of time, but it's not mistakes. It's sin. We sin. We come short of the glory of God, but we should strive daily to walk according to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should walk close to Him as we can. And this is exactly where people is missing the mark today. We want to go out. We want to give our money to reach the lost in Africa. We want to do all these things to reach the lost in Alabama. And we should do those things. But bless God, if our walk was right, we would be reaching the people in our communities. They would see a difference. You think back to a time. You think back to a time when you knew godly people. And listen, they walked a different way than the rest of the world did. They held themselves different. They went to the places different. They didn't go to some places everybody else did. They didn't do some of the things everybody else does. But listen, we're at a time right now when we've come up with the idea that we must become like them to reach them. And that's completely against the Word of God. It tells us to be a separate people. It tells us to be a peculiar people, if you will, is what the Word says. It tells us to be set apart from them. It tells us they should be able to tell a difference in me and a man who never claimed to know Jesus Christ. You should see a difference in my daily walk. This part of life. Now listen, it's hard to hide speech. It's hard to hide our speech, but the thing about our daily walk with Christ is we can hide it. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. You can hide it from your boss. You can hide it from even your children. You can hide it from all types of people. Won't nobody ever know that you're hiding your daily walk. You can have a sin in your life so bad that people can't. You can be addicted to something, and your own people in your household will never know it. You can do that thing. It is possible to do that. But may I tell you today, it's not possible to hide your walk from the Lord. He's got all-seeing eyes. He's everywhere. He knows everything you're doing, and He realizes this. And listen, He knows your very heart. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows about your very makeup. Why? Does He know this? We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning. Before the very foundation of the world, He created you, and He made you before an eternity past. He decided to make you, and He knew how He would make you up, and He knew how great He would make you. But we think we're fooling Him. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. And I had to look this up because I remembered parts of it. Abraham Lincoln said, "You can fool all people sometime, and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. But you can't fool God none of the time. You can fool me most of the time. It's pretty easy to fool me. I'm not too sharp. It's pretty easy to fool your wife because she may not be sharp. Or your husband, they might not be too sharp. But let me tell you something. Listen, you're not going to fool the lost and dying world. They're watching you. They're looking at a difference. You may fool them for a little bit, but they're not going to fool them very long. We've seen it in our own communities. You can do things. One slip and your testimony is ruined. One slip, they find out of what you've done. Your testimony is forever ruined. And your magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ with your walk is completely done at that point. Are you saying that I'm done and God will send me to hell? No, I'm not saying that. Once you're saved, I believe the Word teaches we're sealed until the day of redemption. But your testimony and you're able to reach a lost and dying world and magnify the Lord the way you should, at that point it has been hindered. We should be careful. Job was the greatest picture of integrity that we've got. This is what his integrity is about. Integrity is about who you are when nobody's watching. Who you are when you're at home by yourself. Who you are when you're miles away and nobody's around. You're in the middle of the woods, not a person around. Integrity, that's what the meaning of it is. Listen to what Job chapter 27 verse 5 says. It says, "God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." Job said, "Hey, I don't care what comes. I'm not removing my integrity. I'm going to walk the walk that you've called me to walk." You remember Job's situation, how God allowed him to be tested and allowed all these things to be taken. Even the boil, his body broke out in boils. And his children, his animals, and everything was taken. And Job's wife said, "You fool, why don't you cuss God and die?" He said, "I'm not going to do it. You speak as a foolish woman." He said, "God gives the good things and God gives the bad things," is what he says. He says, "I'm going to walk in my integrity and nobody's going to take it from me." Listen, church. We're in a time, even at people that's outside the church and inside the church, there is absolutely no thoughts of integrity anymore. There's no thoughts of integrity. You say, well, I'll come to church on Sunday and I'll do this and that, but I'm not changing this part of my life. I'm not going to do it. And our integrity is not what it's supposed to be. Listen to what Job chapter 31, verse 6 says. Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. Let me be weighed in a balance. Job's saying, God, you can weigh me. God, you can try me, and you're going to find that I've got integrity. I wish I could say what Job said in that verse. I wish I could stand here and honestly tell you that I would allow God on a daily basis to weigh me and search what my integrity is. I want to tell you something. I would come up very bad on the wanting side. I would come up on a side that needs to be balanced out very bad. I would fall very short of that time. And listen, whose fault is that? It's my fault that I allow myself to get to that point. It's your fault that you allow that. And listen, it's not just hurting you. It's not just hindering you from being what God's called you to be. You may be the one who is to win certain souls to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And because you're failing to magnify Him in your daily walk and in your integrity, people are leaving this walks of life and they're spending eternity in hell because me and you are too weak to walk according to the way that God's called us to walk. Well, that ain't fun. But it's the truth. We should magnify Him with our walk. Next, we should magnify Him with our stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. In other words, it means act like men. Be men. Hey, listen, men in the Bible, in this day and time when this word was pinned down, the man was a strong. The man was saw as a strong being in the family. Man was saw as the one who was solid and the one who couldn't be moved and the one who would stand up and fight for his family. And listen, we've even saw it in our modern churches of where if it wasn't for women, bless God, a lot of things the church wouldn't be done. You know why? Because man's at home or man's on the lake or man's doing this or man's doing that. And listen, it tells you something to watch and stand fast in faith, act like men and quit being sissies and stand up and do exactly what God's told you to do, and take a stand for your family. Take a stand for your church, a stand. Listen, nowhere in the Scripture, I challenge you to find in the Scripture where God ever tells a Christian people to fight. It's not there. He tells you to stand. He does the fighting. All you need to do is stand. You need to stand in the faith. You need to stand secure. You need to stand strong. And many, many times in the Scripture, it tells us to stand still. Stand absolutely still. Boy, this is hard to do, ain't it? Listen, he tells us, I want you to stand in the faith. That is the only thing. Standing in the faith is the only thing I can stand on. Everything else in my life is shifting sand. There is nothing in my life secure. My job's not secure. Even our relationship's not secure. She better not go anywhere. I'm going with her. That stuff's not secure. What I'll do when I leave here is not secure. I think I got a good idea, but I don't really know what day I'll die. It's got secure with God, but it's not with me. I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything. Listen, the only secure thing in my life is Jesus Christ. That is it. That is absolutely. And he tells us something. He says, you stand upon a rock. He said, you stand upon something that is strong. You stand upon me. And as long as you stand in faith, brother, may I tell you, you will not fall. Listen, our nation needs Christian people in 2018 that's not afraid to take a stand. That's not afraid to take a stand. Listen, when you take a stand today, you will take a stand and people will not like you. People will not like you. I watch something. This is, I guess I relate to sports too much maybe, but it's about all I watch this time of year. Amen. At least I got an amen. Jimbo Fisher, the coach for Texas A&M. And I remember I didn't play much football in high school, but I played Little League on up and hurt a knee, or I'd probably been better than O.J. Simpson, but or some of them. But no, I didn't play a lot of high school football. But I can remember a time. Anybody remember a name? Harlan Robinson. He was a coach at Ramron High School for years. And if Harlan Robinson had been coaching today, Harlan Robinson would be under the jail. Harlan Robinson would kick you in the rear end with his foot. He would grab your face mask and pull you to the ground. He would grab the back of your helmet, he'd grab your jersey, and he'd jerk you. And he'd do all this stuff. And Jimbo Fisher simply reached up and grabbed a young man's face mask. Not hard. I mean, that athlete can bench press probably 500 pounds. He can probably run a 40-yard dash in 2 seconds. He did not hurt him. He reached up and he grabbed his face mask, and all these other people on TV said, in 2018, no longer can you do that. No longer can you do those things. And I don't know why I'm on this morning, but listen, we've raised a bunch of sissies.
Amen.
Who won't stand for anything.
Amen.
For anything. It starts, I know that's simple in sports, but it goes all the way down to our spiritual lives and our spiritual and our families. Bless God, we will not stand for anything. Because we've been taught somewhere along the line that you cannot hurt feelings. That you can't do that. And you can't do this. Isn't it about time that God's people stands on the Word of God? I'm not saying you go out and you pick out a certain sin and you crucify them and you shoot them and you do all these bad things to them. I'm saying you stand with love. This next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, tells us, let all things be done with charity. Stand. You stand on what the Word of God says. If it says that a certain sin is wrong, brother, you stand on it, and you don't move according to this group wants you to move, or that group wants you to move. You stand on the Word of God. You do not move, but you make certain, and if you don't do this, you're not right with the Lord. You make certain that all things is done with love. That's what charity means. You don't give in to that sin. You don't give in to it. You hate the sin, but you love the sinner. You love that person, and you try to get them to come to the Lord, but never, ever do you give in. You stand secure, you stand strong, and you stand still. Stand still and watch. And watch what the Lord can do. You see, the problem with me is I want to get ahead of Him. I want to say, Lord, I want to go. I want it now. I live in a world where I don't have to wait on anything. Hey, I can, we had our, and I'm not trying to embarrass them, I loved them this morning. Hey, this group of teenagers is great, and they participated in our class, and they answered questions, and they done wonderful this morning. But I asked them a question. I said, if you could create one thing, what would it be? And they didn't do anything that I wouldn't have said. Maybe I try to be a little more godly than they are sometimes, but if I've been honest, I would have said some of the same answers they said. And the one thing I picked out of everything they said was anything they could create, if they could have all the power to create anything they wanted to, and every one of our creations, including mine, was selfish. Was selfish. Because we're raised at a time we don't have to wait. We can have it now. I want it easier. I don't want to have to do this. Landon asked me one time, I'm going to embarrass Landon, probably not, but one Wednesday we was in here, I think his mom and daddy was gone somewhere, and he's standing beside me. And I saw on his phone he had baby girl or something on there. I said, who is this? He said, well, what was on your cell phone when you and Stephanie dated? I said, no. Mine was a payphone at Ramburn City Hall. I pulled up beside it in the car and I pulled up. My daddy wouldn't let you call long distance. I could go to Ramburn and I could call Carrollton for a quarter. And I could talk as long as I wanted to. And nobody could see my numbers that said baby girl. I don't know what that's got to do with standing still, but we're told to stand still. We are to magnify Him and let the world know that we're standing. You see, that's the problem where we're at today. If you stand for anything, you hate people. Just because you stand for something, you hate people. You've got to be willing to give. You've got to be willing to give in. You can't stand on anything. We're to magnify Him with our stand. And the last one I'll close, we're to magnify Him with our life and with our death. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to what Paul says. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I put something down wrong. I'm supposed to have magnifying it. Verse 20. Paul, anyway, in this verses, I got them, it's not their fault, I messed it up probably. In these verses, Paul says, I magnify Him, whether in my life or in my death. He says, here it is. Nothing I'll be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was at a point in his life where he said, hey, for me to continue, I'm a winner. If I go on to be with the Lord, I'm a winner. He said, it's more needful that I stay with you and teach you about Jesus. He said, but whether in my life or in my death, the Lord Jesus is going to be magnified. I wonder today, can we say that? Can you, where you're sitting in your seat right now, can you honestly say that Lord Jesus Christ is going to be magnified whether you live the rest of the day or another 100 years, or Lord Jesus is going to be magnified in whether you die today? Now begin thinking about that. How are we going to magnify the Lord Jesus in our death? And I begin to think about people that I had preached funerals for, or people I've been involved with funerals, or people I had saw. And I put down a few examples, and y'all know a few of these. These are normal people. These ain't movie stars. These are people in my life. I put down Bob Adams, Jonathan's grandpa. Magnified the Lord Jesus in his life. I'm talking about this man. I know a man who deer hunted on around Brother Bob's land. And said that Bob wouldn't know he was, didn't have a clue he was even in the woods most days. He would sit in a deer stand and Bob would come by talking to the Lord. Magnifying him, not knowing a soul was around. I saw him for a short time after I was saved. We went to church with him and Miss Lucille. He magnified. I saw it in him. Brother Frank Hagen. Magnify the Lord. Some of y'all know Frank. He went to school at Heflin. Magnified the Lord. His life. One of my biggest encouragers when I started preaching. I'd come to Frank and I'd tell him all my downs. I'd be wanting to quit. He'd say, you better hang in there. And Frank was about 6'6 and about 350 pounds before leukemia got him. He was a man. He could take you in mercy and he could put the biggest man on the ground. He would encourage me. He'd say, you keep going. And then listen, at his funeral, the Lord was magnified in that service. I remember him. I put this one down. It's one of the least ones I could have ever expected as I was being earnest. My granddaddy, Virgil Benefield. Alcoholic, rough as a cob. Got saved 2 weeks before he died. His life didn't magnify the Lord but about 2 weeks. But his death was a testimony to all my lost family members of what God can do. I saw a man who was addicted to alcohol in the last 2 weeks of his life would tell my uncle to get that beer away from him. He wanted no part of it. He magnified the Lord. Only for a short time. Miss Sue Beam from Ramburn. Some of y'all may have knew Sue Beam. One of the only people, which you can put Brother Bob in this, and Frank was like me. He had an attitude sometimes. So somebody possibly could say something bad about Frank, as they can me. But nobody could ever say anything bad about Sue Beam. She magnified the Lord. You went to her. She was suffering with stage 4 colon cancer. It spread to other parts of her body. I'd go see her. And you know what she was worried about all the time was her husband and her kids. And she'd say, you don't dare need to drive down here every day to see me. Or you don't need to come this much and sleep. You don't need to come down here. I'm okay. And she would ask about all my problems, about everybody. Never once would she want to talk about her problems. She magnified the Lord in her body when she was here. And her funeral was like a revival. Never been in one such. Like a revival. Even the family, there wasn't a tear in their eye. There was rejoicing. The Lord was magnified in that place that day more than I've ever seen him in there in the pastor there 3 years. Never saw him magnified like the day of her death in that place. Paul says, will I live or die? I'm going to magnify the Lord. What about you today? What about you? You remember what I said when we started this thing out? We've got so focused on self. People are dying, falling off of cliffs so they can lift themselves up. So everybody can see what I've done. And those of y'all that ain't able to get on computers and don't see very much of this, there's even people who started games of suicide so that these children who are grasping to be made popular can be made popular in their death and magnify themselves. It's sad. We also talked about a telescope. How a telescope takes something that's way out and brings it near. Something that just grabs the light of it and comes back and spreads it out before our eyes. That's exactly what my life's supposed to be today. Listen, I know God's near. I know He's near to us. The Bible teaches that. But I want my life, and I want your life, and I want our church's life to be such as it takes that light from Jesus Christ, refracts it back to a focal point, which is my life, which is your life, and what gets magnified is Jesus Christ. We're living in this time of where sports figures are magnified on high. And for some reason or another, we take all of our great advice from famous people. A movie star says this, so it must be true. Or this person that's got a lot of money says this, so this must be the way it is. And we lift them up and we magnify them and we give them awards and all this stuff. And we'll take the Word of God, which is the only truth we have, and we magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody wants to hear it. And we see what's happening because of it. I can't do anything about them. I can't even do anything about you. All I can do is me. As I studied for this message yesterday, I prayed, Lord, may you let me be a magnifying glass for you. That I bring you closer to somebody. that something I say or something I do will bring you closer into sight so they can see truly who you are. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take for this world to change. What about you today? There may be somebody in here that doesn't know the Lord at all. Listen, if you don't know Him and you don't know where He's at, you don't know who He is, you cannot magnify Him. You can't magnify Him. It's impossible. You don't have a relationship with Him. My prayer is today that you will if you don't. If everyone would, please stand as our singers come forth. As Mass Pat plays, what about your life today? Are you magnifying yourself? Are you magnifying something other than Jesus Christ? If you are, you're wrong. My prayer is each one of us leaves this building today and we become a magnifying object that lifts Him up. That everything in our lives, everything on our being, listen, it comes back to what's important. It comes back to what's important. And what's important is eternity. That's the only thing that's going to last is our relationship with Him. Everything else is going to pass away. Everything you can think of is going to leave. Everything you can even imagine is going to be gone. The only thing secure in your life is Jesus Christ. Will you magnify Him today as we sing?